Well, let's turn back now to our reading in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We can read again at verse 11. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and at verse 11. For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. We also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. Especially maybe these words in verse 12, they were charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God. I don't know how you picture Paul arriving in the city of Thessalonica. He was on his missionary journey and he'd been to Philippi and now he's come to Thessalonica. He's going to go on to Berea and Athens and finally then on to Corinth. And from Corinth, he writes this letter back to the church at Thessalonica. But how do you picture him arriving in Thessalonica? We're told what was happening in the book of Acts, and it gives us a little bit more insight as to how he came to arrive here. He was led by God. He didn't just decide to go to Thessalonica himself. He was led by the Spirit of God. There was what we see the Macedonian call. Come over to Macedonia. Bring the gospel to us. And Paul was obedient to this call. And you may expect that God having called him to go here, things would go well and things would be quite straightforward. And you maybe picture him arriving in Thessalonica, just raring to go, preaching the gospel. Everyone's being converted and things are going well. Well, that's not exactly how it was. He arrived in Thessalonica from Philippi. And we read that while he was in Philippi, in the book of Acts chapter 16, while he was there, he was accused of stirring things up. And it tells us in verse 22 of chapter 16 that this great crowd joined in attacking them. That's Paul and Silas. And the magistrate tore the garments off them and gave them orders to beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. They were beaten with rods, and had many blows inflicted upon them. They were battered, possibly bleeding, bruised, and yet still they go on doing the Lord's work. And they come into Thessalonica just a few days later, with probably still bearing the marks of that beating. And yet their great desire as they come into Thessalonica is to proclaim the gospel. And as they do, they meet further accusations, they meet further barriers, they find people who are still against them. But in the will of God, there were many who came to believe. And you see in chapter 2 here just how close Paul and Silas had come to the people. In verse 8 it says, being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. So you think they must have been there a long time. They must have spent months, maybe even years there to build up this relationship so that there was this strong affection between them. They were only there about 3 weeks. Roughly 3 weeks, and yet all this had taken place in such a short time. Acts chapter 17 speaks about those who have turned the world upside down, have come into our midst too. What they were doing, proclaiming the gospel, was transforming people. turning people's worlds upside down as they saw it, or the right way up would be, I bet, the way of putting it. People were coming to hear the gospel, responding and believing and professing Christ as Savior. And they were going on in this way, just longing to be witnesses for the Lord. So much so that we read in chapter 1 of Thessalonians that they were becoming an example, it says in verse 7, to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere. And this was a faith that was in the midst of opposition, in the midst of persecution, and yet it was a faith that people were speaking about. The gospel was transforming lives and going on transforming them. As we read here, it was the word of God that they were receiving, and the word of God which was at work in you believers. It wasn't just about coming to faith, but God's word working in them as believers, encouraging them, helping them to grow in their faith and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here is Paul writing back to the church at the Thessalonica. Why is he writing to them? Because of this great love he had towards them. He wanted to come back and see them himself, but he was prevented from doing so. Satan has hindered us, it says in verse 18. But Timothy, his brother in the Lord, has gone back and he's brought this report back to Paul and to Silas, that the believers at Thessalonica, they are growing in their faith. They are being witnesses for their faith. They are still going on in the Lord. It's a wonderful report. It wasn't just for a moment that they came to believe, but they were going on in their faith and going on despite opposition. And so we see here in verse 12 that they have been encouraged to charge, it says, you to walk in a manner worthy of God. And what Paul is hearing is that they are. They are going on in a manner worthy of God. But others want to ridicule Paul. Others want to dismiss Paul as someone who has abandoned them. And they're being accused of just forgetting about them. Look at him. He came in here. He stayed a while. As soon as opposition arose, he's disappeared. He's left you behind. But not so. This letter arrives, and it's a wonderful letter of encouragement to the people. And don't we all need encouragement to keep going? That's what Paul's great motive in writing this letter was. That they would continue to receive the word of God, not as the word of men, but what it really is, the word of God at work in them as believers. And as we think of preparing ourselves for tomorrow, as we think of a communion weekend, what do we want? To encourage one another, to be encouraged by God, to examine ourselves and ask ourselves, are we walking in a manner worthy of God? We would all, I'm sure, say no. Who here is walking in a manner worthy of God? And yet God says that is what we are to strive for. We'll never reach it in perfection. But we should long to go on with the Lord, to live in a manner worthy of God. And what Paul is saying here is, as a father, you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. He's wanting them to follow in the Father's footsteps. Not Paul as their father, but to look to God as their father, to follow in his footsteps, to see that they walk in a manner worthy of God. And how can we do that? Well, it's to listen to what he is saying to us, to receive the word of God, to listen to what God's word is saying to us, to be obedient to that word, to live the gospel, to breathe the gospel. That's what the believers at Thessalonica were doing. That is how they were being spoken about. They were a people who, it was obvious, they loved the Lord. And it showed. It showed in every area of their life. It would be wonderful to be spoken about in that way. Look at these people. See how close they are to the Lord. See how they come to worship Him. And not only come here to worship Him, but see how they go out. And their lives as they live, not just worshipping here, but worshipping out there. That they are a people who love the Lord. To be spoken of in that way. And so what is Paul saying to encourage them? Well, he's saying something that he says over and over and over again. We see it not just in this letter, but in many of his letters. He says the same thing over and over and over again. He proclaims the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that He has come to save sinners, that He came to die on the cross. He came to lay down His life because that was the price that sin demanded. A price that we could not pay ourselves, God gave His Son. And that is the good news of the gospel. That there is a way to forgiveness of sin. And that that way is through Jesus Christ. That is the gospel He was proclaiming in Thessalonica. That's the gospel they had received, the word that they had believed. And now they were going on in that faith. They had heard the gospel. How often have you heard the gospel? How often have you heard the good news of Jesus Christ? Some of you, it'll be maybe thousands of times. But have you responded to it? Have you listened to it? Do you live your lives in the gospel? Sometimes we need to hear something again and again for it to take it. Hold of us, to take an impact upon us. There's a story told of a teacher, and he would start every class in the same way. He would say, "Class, I'm going to tell you what I told you yesterday. Then I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you today. Then I'll tell you, and then I'll tell you what I've told you. And then I'll review." And you're saying to yourself, what on earth kind of teacher was that? He's just repeating himself again and again and again. But he was saying, this is the way that you will learn to go over things again and again until you understand it, until you fully understand what is being taught to you. And have you ever been in that situation? Sitting in a classroom and the teacher started to teach you something and you just don't understand. Algebra, for example. The first time I heard a teacher teaching algebra, what's the point in adding X's and Y's together? What is the point? I just don't get it. I couldn't understand it. And the teacher was saying it again and again. It just wasn't going in. But eventually, suddenly, I began to understand. Still don't see the point in it, but I began to understand how you do it. But it took a long time. And that's the way the gospel can be with some of us. We're hearing it again and again and again. And you're saying to yourself, what's the point? It's just not penetrating. I just don't understand. But then the Spirit works. And the Spirit opens our eyes, our ears, and suddenly it begins to make sense. Why did God give His Son? These are the kind of questions we can have so often. Why did He have to die? Was there not another way? Surely God could have done something else. And we can have all these questions. We don't understand it. But then all of a sudden, the words jump off the page. And we begin to realize there was no other way. God gave His Son. The one that says here in verse 14, "You have suffered the same things for your own countrymen as they did from the Jews, who killed both the Lord Jesus and the prophets." It's something maybe they didn't understand immediately. But as they're taught it again and again and again, it begins to make sense. So here we see Paul saying to them, "As a father, I want to encourage you, I want to exhort you, I want to charge you to walk in a manner worthy of God." And you will hear this again and again and again until it begins to make sense to you. How often do you see Paul saying the same thing over and over? You go to other letters that he's written. To the church at Ephesus he writes. The first three chapters he's talking about how what they are to believe. There's great teaching in these first three chapters. Who God is, who Christ is. He's teaching in the Word of God. But then in chapter 4, he begins to say, now you must live according to what you believe. But at the beginning of chapter 4, in verse 1, it says this, "I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called." So he's saying you are to live according to this word. In Philippians chapter 1, if Thessalonians is a letter of encouragement, Philippians is a letter of joy. "Rejoice in the Lord" is repeated often. But what does it say in chapter 1, verse 27? "Let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ." Same kind of idea. He writes to Colossae, to the people in Colossae, and he says in chapter 1, verse 10, "Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." You say to yourself, does Paul only have one sermon? Is he just going around the churches preaching the same sermon over and over and over again? No. But what he's saying is, this is so important. This is what you need to do. You need to hear and learn who God is, what He has done for us. But you need to live according to that. Walk in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. And what does that mean? Well, he's saying you are to follow in the Father's footsteps. As Paul was writing to the people here, he'd have been writing to a people who would have been familiar with this idea of following in their Father's footsteps. I don't know if any of you here have followed in your Father's footsteps in the sense of doing what your parents before you did. It could be following in a father's footsteps, following in a mother's footsteps. You've just taken up with what your parents were doing and you've continued it. It can happen in all different kinds of ways. Fishing, farming, sport, music. Because it's what your parents were doing, you're doing it yourself because you've picked it up from them. It may be a musical instrument. You've heard your parents playing it over years. And you've learned it even as a wee child and you're doing it now. Maybe you're passing it on to children or grandchildren now. So often we pass things on. Well, Paul is saying here the exact same thing. But he's saying it for the gospel. He is sharing with them what God has given to him. And he's saying to them, you are to follow in the Father's footsteps according to the gospel. In a manner worthy of God. And it sounds so hard for us. But yet God knows our weaknesses. God knows our faults. He knows we're not perfect. He knows we fail along the way. He knows we have our slips. But he's asking us to follow him. And what we're seeing in Thessalonica is there was a people there. They were not a perfect people. But they were a people who were striving for this. They were a people living sincerely with a joy, with a zeal for what they believed. Living for the gospel. And people could look at us. And they do look at us. And what do they see? Maybe they see a people who come to church, who say they're believers. Maybe they say of us, but look at them out in the community. They're not really showing what kind of Christians they are. And again, we're sometimes rebuked in that way. But they can also look at people and say, they say they're believers, they say they're Christians. So why don't they go to the Lord's table? They say they love the Lord. So why don't they show it? And here we're seeing in every aspect of their lives, the Church of Thessalonica, it was a people who were living for God in every way, in the way they worshipped, but also in the way they lived among the people. They suffered for it. They were, as we see with Paul himself, they were opposed, they were persecuted, but yet still they received the word of God for what it was. The very word of God, not the word of men, but it was the word of God that was at work in them as believers. And if the word of God is at work in you, what God is saying is to live in a manner worthy of him, in doing as he commands. And this is something you've heard before. You're hearing it again and again and again. But is it dawning on you yet? Just what it means. You hear the gospel. Here we see a people responding. A people who were spoken of. It was so obvious they were believing. Maybe spoken of us in that way too. Now, is there a purpose in Paul repeating himself? Is there a purpose in him saying the gospel again and again and again? Of course there is. He's repeating it again and again and again so that they can keep going on and on and on. They are to live their lives in a manner worthy of God. Walk in a manner worthy of God. Walking here, it means our very lives going on day after day after day. Each day is a day for the Lord. And how are we walking with him? It's not just about coming to believe for one day and then you can forget about it. It's about going on, keeping going. And that's why we need the gospel. That's why we need to hear it again and again and again. So we can go on and on and on. The purpose is so we'll be able to stand firm. To be a people who, yes, will come under attack. Yes, there'll be challenges along the way. But the more we are trusting and believing in the gospel, the more we are ready to face up to these challenges. It was a film I loved when I was young. The Karate Kid. I don't know if anybody's seen it, but young boy, a teenage boy, and he was getting picked on by other boys around him. And he wanted to be able to defend himself. He wanted to be able to stand up to these guys. He wanted to be able to fight back. And so he went to this teacher, an older man who taught karate. And he said, I want to learn karate. I want to be able to defend myself when bullies start to come against me. And so the teacher said, I'll teach you then. And he spent a few days with his teacher, and all he was doing was painting a fence, painting the house, cleaning cars, and he was saying, what's the point in this? I'm not learning any karate. And so then it comes maybe the fourth day, and he told, right, you're going to sweep the floors now. He says, forget it. Had enough. I'm not learning any karate. All you're doing is using me as your slave. And he's about to walk away and his teacher says, stop. And he says, what have you been doing these last few days? And he's complaining about painting and cleaning cars. He says, what have you learned? And all of a sudden, the teacher shows him that in all the things that he's been doing, he's been learning karate. He wasn't understanding it at the time. It seemed to be boring and pointless. But then he begins to realize what was happening. And suddenly it dawns on him that this teacher knew what he was doing. And how are we like that with the gospel too? You know, there are times when you can say, church is boring. Reading my Bible, I just don't enjoy it. There's no point in praying. What's the point of it all? It's only when you come under attack sometimes that you realize the benefits that there are. And that's what Paul is teaching the church at Thessalonica and all the churches. He's teaching them to walk in a manner worthy of God. Walk in a way where you're obedient to Him. When the things are going well, you can say to yourself, oh, I'll leave my Bible reading today. I'll leave my prayer time today. I'm okay. I'm standing strong. I'm getting on fine. But what does it say in Ephesians as Paul writes to the church there? In chapter 6, he says, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. It's to be learning through the word of God all the time. And you may say to yourself, what's the point? I'm not learning anything. But again, you come into a situation and all of a sudden you realize how important it is. Why do we read the Word of God every day? So that we can draw from it when we need it. There may be a time and you say to yourself, someone comes and asks you a question. Someone comes and challenges your faith. And you're able to say, I've read about that. I've learned that in the Scriptures. I know what to say in that moment. It's when the hard times come so often that we realize how important it is that we know the Word of God. Think of Jesus himself when he was in the wilderness, tempted by Satan. Satan came to him and said to him, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Temptation. Temptation is there all the time for ourselves. But what did Jesus say? Jesus said, begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. The importance of the Word of God. Why do we pray when things are going well? So that we'll be ready to pray when things are hard. When things are difficult for us, it'll be easier for us to pray. Why do we go to church as often as we can? Why should we go as often as we can? Because there are times when we'll be unable to attend. There'll be times when we cannot come out and we can draw on what we've learned. Why would we go to the Lord's table? Why would we come and sit at the Lord's table? We could say, I don't need to do that. It's not going to make much difference in my life as it is. Well, again, it's a command. The same way as to pray and to read God's word and to attend the means of grace. It's a command. Do this in remembrance of me. And if we do it, it's almost only then do we see the benefit of it. It's for our growth in grace. And if it's for that, if we're not doing it, we're not growing as we should. We're not doing as we should. We're not walking in a manner worthy of God because we're falling short. We need all of these things. It's about honouring God in all that we do, following in the Father's footsteps, listening to what He has said to us, going through the times when maybe things seem to be fine. We're not relying on Him, we're relying on ourselves. But so often we're brought to a point where we realise we are fully dependent on Him. And a day is coming when all of us will realise that. Because He says we'll appear before the judgment seat of God. And as it says here, God who is calling you into His own kingdom and glory. He is calling us. Are we listening? Are we listening to our teacher? Are we saying, I know best, I know better? God is saying we are to listen to Him. We are to receive the Word of God as it is. The Word of God, not the Word of men. And the Word of God gives us commands. Are we honouring Him in His commands? Are we living a life and walking in a manner worthy of God? We may say no. And we can make our excuses that there are so many things wrong in my life, and we've all got things that are wrong. But that's the whole point. God knows we're not perfect. And so He's calling us to walk in His ways. We sang in Psalm 25, show me thy ways, O Lord, thy paths, O teach thou me, and do thou lead me in thy truth, therein my teacher be. That is the one we are to look to, our teacher. And then it goes on to say, for thou art God that dost to me salvation send, and I upon thee all the day expecting do attend. There's a wonderful picture in that psalm. A psalm of expectation. Of what God can do for us. And that is a great way to come to the day, the Lord's day tomorrow. And to come to the Lord's table. He is the God who has sent salvation to us. And that is what the gospel is about. The gospel we hear again and again. And as we come approaching the Lord's table, it's to keep us going on and on and on. And to come with expectation that God will be with us. That He will meet us there. That He will encourage us. That He will help us to grow in grace. And to go on walking in this life. Walking imperfectly, but walking in a manner worthy of God. That we would follow His commands. That we would do this in remembrance of Him. Let us pray.